ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्षिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 12 चैप्टर 6 महाराज परीक्षित पासेस अवे। टेक्स्ट 12 निवर्त्य विषहारिणं द्विजरूप प्रतिच्छन्नः कामरूपः अदर्शत् नृपम् तं तर्पयित्वा द्रविणे निवर्त्य विषहारिणम् द्विजरूप प्रतिच्छन्नः कामरूपोदशन् नृपम् तम् हिम् कश्यप तर्पयित्वा ग्रेटिफाइंग द्रविणैः विथ वैल्युएबल ऑफरिंग्स निवर्त्य स्टॉपिंग विषहारिणम् an expert in counteracting poison dvijarupa in the form of a brahmana pratichannaha disguising himself kamarupaha takshaka who could assume any form he wished adashat bit nripam king parikshit translation takshaka flattered kashyapa by presenting him with valuable offerings and thereby stopped the sage who was expert in counteracting poison from protecting maharaj parikshit then the snake bird who could assume any form he wished, disguised himself as a brahmana, approached the king and bit him. Purport. Kashyapa could counteract the poison of Takshaka and demonstrated this power by bringing a palm tree back to life after Takshaka had burnt it to ashes by biting it with his fangs. According to the arrangement of destiny, Kashyapa was diverted by Takshaka and the inevitable took place. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurbhudhir Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahinam Dadati Svapadantikam वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने
Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshitarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So we are now poised at a very interesting stage in the Srimad Bhagavatam when, having heard the entire scripture, King Parikshit is finally prepared to give up his body and to die, to go back to the spiritual world, to Goloka Vrindavan. Just to briefly summarize the events that have taken place in the previous few verses, Shukadeva Goswami has answered all the questions of Maharaj Parikshit. And finally Shukadeva Goswami asks Maharaj Parikshit, is there anything more you would like to hear about? And King Parikshit is completely satisfied. He says, I have heard from you the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a perfect summary of all the Puranas and which perfectly describes Uttama Shloka or Lord Krishna. So now I have no fear of Takshak or any snake bird or any other animal or bird that may come along. So please give me permission now to depart to the spiritual world. And this is Parikshit Maharaj's consciousness. He is completely equipoised and peaceful in his consciousness. There is no agitation. He is fully ready now to go. This is a journey we will all have to undergo one time. And we also have to be prepared, like King Parikshit, to pass away in the same way that King Parikshit has also passed away. Completely equipoised and ready to go. No attachments to this world. And King Parikshit, after having said that, then Shukadeva Maharaj is satisfied. Yes, here is an ideal disciple. And then he, having considered that his work has been done now, he departs. What detachment, Shukadeva Goswami. Just walks away. The king of the whole world is about to leave his body. He has heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from him for 7 days. And just as the climax is about to come in, Parikshit Maharaj is just going to leave the body, Shukadeva Goswami walks away. Completely detached. But of course, another angle to look at it is that had Shukadeva Goswami been there, perhaps the snake bird Takshaka would not have come to bite King Parikshit. So Shukadeva Goswami also had to facilitate the unfolding of Krishna's pastime. That is, of finally taking King Parikshit back to Godhead. So Shukadeva Goswami leaves, and King Parikshit situates himself on a mat or a seat of darbha grass, and he has absorbed himself completely in meditation. And at that time the snake bird Takshaka, who was destined to kill Maharaj Parikshit and who had been sent there by the curse of Shringi, the son of Shamik Rishi, he comes along and he sees Kashyapa on the path. So, a little background about Shringi and Shamik and Kashyapa and so on. As we all remember from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when King Parikshit was once hunting in the forest, he was very thirsty and he chanced upon the ashram of Shamik Rishi. The great sage was completely absorbed in his meditation and did not notice the king coming in. being plagued by severe thirst, he asked the rishi or the sage for water. But the sage, being completely oblivious to external circumstances and being completely absorbed in his internal meditation, did not reply because he was unaware of Maharaj Parikshit's presence. And King Parikshit became annoyed at what he perceived was a slight or an insult or a deliberate affront by the sage. Perhaps because he felt, maybe I am a Kshatriya, which is a lower order than a Brahmana, and a Brahmana didn't want to receive someone from a lower caste, a lower Varna. So that's why he pretended as if he was absorbed in meditation and he ignores me like this. So a Kshatriya is touched by the modes of Kashyap very strongly. In fact, a Brahmana is one who is in the mode of goodness, Kshatriya is one who is in the mode of passion, a Vaishya is one who is in the mixed modes of passion and ignorance, and a Shudra is in the mode of ignorance. So, because there was passion there, and from passion comes anger, so King Parikshit became upset, and as he walked away, he spoke harshly, and then he picked up a dead snake that was lying on the ground somewhere with the end of his bow and placed that dead snake on the shoulders of Shamik Rishi and walked away in a huff. Now, if we read this section which Srila Prabhupada's purports, wherein he also quotes the commentaries of the previous acharyas, we can understand that ultimately not only was Shamik Rishi an exalted soul, but so was King Parikshit. After all, he was the one who had seen Krishna directly when he was in his mother's womb. He saw Krishna even before he was born. When Ashwatthama had thrown the deadly Brahmastra weapon to finish all the remaining descendants, or the last remaining descendant of the Pandava dynasty, and that was King Parikshit. Because the five sleeping sons of Draupadi had already been killed, and now Parikshit was the only descendant left. And Ashwatthama wanted to seek revenge for the death of his father Dronacharya. So he sent this Brahmastra weapon, and the peculiarity or the special feature of this Brahmastra weapon is that even though it is much more powerful than the modern day atomic weapon, atomic bomb, it can be targeted to a specific person and it will not harm anyone but that targeted person. So evolved was Vedic science, even Vedic military science. And when Uttara, the wife of Abhimanyu, and the to-be mother of Parikshit understood that this Brahmastra was heading towards her womb to kill the child within her womb, then she came to Krishna for protection, and Krishna entered within her womb and was constantly circumambulating the fetus so that the fetus would be protected. And the child in the womb was constantly looking and seeing this effulgent figure with four hands carrying the disc, the wheel, shankha, that is a conch shell, then the mace and the lotus flower. And when he came out, he had been so fascinated by this and so attracted by this sight that he was constantly looking around for that form to be seen again, and that is why his name was Parikshit, because he was examining to see whether the same effulgent form could be visible. So Parikshit Maharaj, who had darshan of the Lord right from childhood and even before birth, and who also was a great devotee of the Lord as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, right from his childhood he had devotion for Lord Krishna. So how could he have done such a thing? First of all, why would he have got so annoyed because a sage had refused him some water? And that too when the sage was actually absorbed in meditation and unaware of external circumstances. Why would he, as a pure devotee, get so annoyed about such a small thing? And why would he, on top of that, do something so unpleasant, like placing a dead snake on his shoulder? And he wasn't an ordinary person, he was a great sage. Even to put a dead snake on some ordinary person's shoulder is not something very pleasant. And he did this to a great sage, and then walked away in a huff. So why would a great devotee do such a thing? A great pure devotee of the Lord is in control of his senses. So why would he do this? So Srila Prabhupada clearly explains that ultimately this was all the arrangement of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Because Krishna wanted the glorious Srimad Bhagavatam to be spoken for the benefit of posterity, for all the generations to come, especially in Kali Yuga. So he had arranged this whole episode. When, in the beginning, in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the sages of Naimisharanya, they ask Suta Goswami that what happens, what will happen now to dharma? Now that Krishna has left and he has gone back to the spiritual world, so where will we get guidance from in this dark age of Kali? And then Suta Goswami replies, Krishna Swadham Apagate Dharma Jnana Adhipisaha Kalo Nashta Dashamesha Purana Arpotuno Ditaha. He says, not to worry, my dear sages, even though Krishna has gone back to his own abode, Krishna Swadham Upagate, along with Dharma Jnana Adhibhi Saha, he has taken Dharma and Jnana with him. But nevertheless, in this age, Kalau Nashta Drishan Esha, for the sake of the residents or the inhabitants of Kali Yuga, whose spiritual vision has been destroyed by the influence of this age, this Srimad Bhagavatam, Puranaha, has risen like the shining sun. Purana Arkaha, Adhuna Uditaha, it has just now arisen. Just now, because as Suta Goswami speaks to the sages of Naimisharanya, the conversation between Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj has just recently concluded. Suta Goswami was present there. And after King Parikshit's departure from this world, Suta Goswami left and he came to Naimisharanya. So Srimad Bhagavatam had been composed just now, just recently. So this Srimad Bhagavatam has especially been composed in this way for the deliverance of the people of Kali Yuga. And a suitable candidate had to be found who could speak, and also someone who could hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because if there isn't a qualified speaker and a qualified recipient, then how will such a dialogue take place? So Shukadeva Goswami was already chosen by the Lord to be the speaker. And now Parikshit Maharaj had also been chosen to be the perfect listener, the perfect questioner. So Lord Krishna had arranged this whole pastime because the Lord is seated in everyone's heart. And therefore he inspired King Parikshit to act in an unbecoming and unprecedented way like this. Otherwise, King Parikshit, in normal circumstances, would not have done something like this. So the only explanation, the acharyas say, is that Krishna wanted this man in this way, so that the Srimad Bhagavatam could eventually be spoken. And it was also with the Lord's arrangement that a dead snake was somewhere lying around close by. And Parikshit Maharaj's sight went onto the dead snake and he was inspired to pick it up and then place it on the sage's shoulder. And as Parikshit left by mystical vision, by the Brahmanical prowess, the 12-year-old young son, not much older than Aditya here, is 1 year older, was playing with his friends on the bank of the river Kaushika, and he could understand what had happened. And he touched the waters of the Kaushiki river and pronounced a curse upon King Parikshit, that these wretched Kshatriyas of today, they have become like animals, like watchdogs and vultures, and they dare to come and disturb the Brahmanas and actually to insult them in this way and so on. And after having undergone this soliloquy, then he cursed him. From the seventh day from today, may the snake bird Takshaka come and bite King Parikshit and kill him. Now, this is also an inspiration from the Lord, because some event had to happen like that. Another explanation that Srila Prabhupada gives is that King Parikshit, being a dear devotee of the Lord, Krishna was very concerned about him and wanted to relieve him from the bondage of material existence. He wanted to ensure that he would not be attached to his material situation, his kingdom and family and so on. So in order to relieve him of this attachment and to take him back to Godhead, because he was a qualified candidate, the Lord also arranged this pastime through the medium of this curse from Sringi, who was only 12 years old. So Sringi cursed him. And of course, Sringi began to lament later that he had done a mistake, and he came, and when he saw the snake on Sringi, on Shamik Rishi's shoulder, he began to wail loudly. And Shamik Rishi was aroused to external consciousness, and he asked his son what happened. And Sringi related the whole incident. And Shamik Rishi also lamented, "Oh, unintelligent, foolish boy, you have done a big mistake. For such a small thing, King Parikshit did not deserve to be cursed in this way. King Parikshit, first of all, is a king. He is a representative of the Lord. And he is also an exalted soul, pure devotee of the Lord. You have done a big blunder. But now the curse, having been pronounced, could not be withdrawn." Actually, even when Shamik Rishi perhaps went later to the court of King Parikshit to beg forgiveness, King Parikshit was quite equipoised. He understood this now as the desire of the Lord. And he did not try to retaliate. Being a great devotee, he could have counter-cursed. We do see many incidents of such counter-cursing going on in the scriptures. One curses another, the other curses him back, and then it goes on back and forth. There's so many incidents like this that are there in the scriptures. So, but King Parikshit was not interested in this. He immediately got back to his devotional consciousness. Yes, this is what Krishna wants. So he immediately left. He handed over the kingdom to his son, Janamejaya. He had four sons, and Janamejaya was the eldest among them. He handed over the kingdom to Janamejaya, and he departed from there and went to the forest, to the banks of the Ganga, and that is where he met the sages. Eventually Shukadev Goswami came there. Parikshit Maharaj asked him the relevant questions. Shukadev Goswami gave them the perfect answers, and the conversation had concluded. And now Shukadev Goswami had left, and as Sringi had cursed at that time, Takshak, under the influence of his curse, was now about to arrive, or had arrived there recently. And what was King Parikshit's consciousness? He says here in this nice verse, that's from the 19th chapter of the first canto, Tamopayatam paryantu vipra Ganga cha devi dhritachittam yishe Vijopasrishtah kuhakastakshakova dashatvalam gayata vishnugatha. O Brahmanas, just accept me as a completely surrendered soul, and let Mother Ganges, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way. For I have already taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in my heart. Let the snake bird, or whatever magical thing it is that the Brahmana has created, bite me at once. I only desire that you continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. So King Parikshit, this is from the 19th chapter of the first canto. This is where the Bhagavatam is really beginning. So even at the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see that King Parikshit's consciousness is quite perfect. And after hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, he is now even more perfectly situated, ready to leave. So Takshak has come, and as Takshak was going towards King Parikshit to fulfill the curse, at that time Kashyapa Muni happens to come on the path. Now this Kashyapa Muni who is being described here is not the famous Kashyapa Muni that we hear about. Kashyapa and Aditi, where have you heard their names? Where have you heard? What is the famous? What is their fame for? Among many things, but also? Sorry? Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyakshi. Yes, he was a father, but with Diti. He had many wives. They are the mother of the Supreme Lord, Vamanadev. Yes, they gave birth to the Supreme Lord. So it is not that Kashyapa. It is another Kashyapa. That Kashyapa was actually the father of Takshaka. You see, Kashyapa had also two other wives whose names were, what were they? Kadru and Vinata. And then Kadru became the mother of the snakes. She had 1,000 snakes as her offspring. And this is something quite unbelievable from the modern point of view, and it would perhaps be subject matter for research for biologists and scientists, that generally we see that one species can give rise to another species by exchange. But here, how is it that Kadru could give birth to many snakes? So there must have been, these are the residents of the higher planets. So there was something in their DNA or whatever you call it that could facilitate this. These options were there. But now for the human beings, such a thing is not possible. When two human beings come together, you can only produce another human being. You can't produce something else. So they were obviously of a higher species, the demigod species, that they could do this because it was their function. Kashyapa was a Prajapati. Prajapati literally means the lord of the creatures, and the specific function of the Prajapati is to populate the universe. Because when the universe was created by Brahma, he had to populate it. And he had these, his sons, many sages like Marichi and so on, to populate the universe. So one wife was Kadru, who gave birth to the snakes including Takshaka and others. And the other was Vinata, who gave birth to two. Does anyone know the names of the two sons of Vinata? One especially is very famous. Who is Vainateya? Garuda, yes. The son of Vinata is Vainateya, Garuda. And Garuda's brother was Aruna, the charioteer of the sun god. So just see, Garuda is the enemy of the snakes, and they are co-brothers. Yeah? because the snake's food, or the bird's food, is a snake. So then this Kashyapa is of course not that Kashyapa, it's another Kashyapa. And this Kashyapa Muni, as today's verse indicates, he was expert in counteracting Nivartya Visharinam, expert in counteracting the effect of snake poison. I don't think you're much familiar with snake poison in Australia, are you? You are? Oh, okay. Many such. Yeah, marsupials, is that what you call it? Yeah. There's snakes in the countryside? Okay. So useful, maybe. So it's good to hear a little more about this then. Maybe of some practical value for all of you living here in Australia. So, yeah, he was expert in counteracting snake poison. And when he came there, because he understood that the great King Parikshit was about to be bitten by the snake, let me go there and save King Parikshit. And Takshak understood the power. So he went and tried to dissuade Takshak, as is mentioned in the purport, Kashyapa, I beg your pardon. And he said, look, I have the power to poison King Parikshit very deeply. And Kashyapa said, but I have the power to counteract that. So let us see who is more powerful. So then Takshak bit a tree, a palm tree that was nearby. And such was the effect of the poison that palm tree just collapsed. It died on the spot. And then, by his mantra power, Kashyapa revived that tree again. And Takshak was astonished to see the power of Kashyap Muni. And then he pleaded with him. And, actually he bribed him, you see. So then he understood that Kashyapa had the power actually to counteract his poison, so he gave him a lot of gifts and everything. And he said, anyway, look, you know, this is the arrangement of providence, so don't interfere. And anyway, just to help you make your decision, here's some nice gifts. So being supplied with all these nice gifts, Kashyap Muni then went away. And so that Takshak could do his business. Also, Kashyapa understood that this was divinely ordained. It had to happen. So he should participate in the workings of destiny. So he went away, and then Takshak came and bit King Parikshit. Now, elsewhere, there is a folk tale. You see, there are Sthala Puranas. Apart from the regular Puranas, there are some Puranas which are associated with specific holy places. Say, like in Tirupati, there will be a specific Sthala Purana like that. So it is said in the folk literature of Tirupati that this Kashyapa actually later repented that he had not performed his duty. He shouldn't have got bribed like that. And he should have actually gone and tried to save Maharaj Parikshit. So he felt really bad about it and wanted to atone for this lapse. So he went to Tirupati, to Balaji, to atone. And then of course he was forgiven and everything became alright. So that Sthala Purana illustrates the power of that deity, because it could even atone for this kind of an offense. So anyway, here we see Kashyapa is expert in counteracting snake poison. Now there is a verse from Chanakya Pandit which Srila Prabhupada quoted sometimes. Sarpah krurah khalah krurah. Sarpat krurah khalah. Mantroshadhi vashah sarpah. Khalah kena nivaryate. Sarpah means a snake. Sarpah krurah. A snake is very cruel. Because a snake is one living entity that will harm you for no reason at all. If he's just going along for no reason, he will come and just bite you. So a snake is considered very envious and very cruel by nature. So when someone is envious, even till today, we will say, oh, he's as envious as a snake. Because that's the nature of a snake, to be envious for no reason. So sarpa kruraha. So a snake is cruel or envious. Kala kruraha. And a kala refers to an envious human being. An envious human being can also be very cruel. So sarpa kruraha, kala kruraha. But sarpa krurataha kalaha. But a kalaha or an envious human being is even more dangerous than a snake. Why so? Mantraushadhi vashah sarpaha. Because a sarpa or a snake can be controlled vashah by two things, mantra and aushadhi. Mantra by chanting certain mantras, and secondly by certain herbs. So there are certain medicinal herbs which if you smell, then the effect of snake bite can be counteracted. So mantraushadhi vashah sarpaha. Kalaha kena nivaryate. But for an envious person, what medicine exists? There is no medicine. So an envious human being is far more dangerous than the envious snake. And we see this in the case of Duryodhana, for example. What was the remedy for Duryodhana? There was no remedy. And because of his envy, his pride, the whole dynasty was destroyed. Millions and millions of people were killed, all for the sake of one man's envy and arrogance. Everyone tried to make him understand. Even Gandhari, his mother, rebuked him severely and told him that you will be the cause of the destruction of our entire dynasty. You are a foolish son. It is my misfortune to have a son like you. She was attached to him as a son, but nevertheless in her anger, she actually rebuked him like this. Even Dhritarashtra, despite his attachment to his son, did try on occasion to make him understand. All the elders of the Kuru dynasty, including Bhishma, Vidura, even his teachers like Drona, they tried to explain. And what to speak of them? Vyasadeva came. Lord Krishna personally came and tried to convince Duryodhana, but there was no solution for him. Only death had to be the solution, destruction. So therefore, it is said, Chanakya says very rightly so, that there is no cure or remedy for the envy of an envious person, a human being. But for a snake, yes, you can have mantra and you can have aushadhi. So regarding both of them, there is some nice quotations in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion. As far as the aushadhis or medicinal herbs are concerned, Rupa Goswami mentions as one of the items of sadhana bhakti as dhupa saurabhyam, malya saurabhyam, which means to smell the incense that has been offered to the Lord. Dhup means incense that we offer. And malya is the garlands and flowers that we offer to the Lord. So by smelling the incense that has been offered to the Lord, we can actually relieve ourselves of the effects of Maya. So in the scriptures, Maya has been compared to a snake. And the situation of the conditioned living entity is compared to a person who is suffering from snake bite. So just as a person who has been bitten by a snake and has the poison in his body becomes unconscious, he can be revived from that unconscious state by making him smell certain medicinal herbs. And when that is done, then he can be revived just by smelling that herb. So similarly, Rupa Goswami says, when we come to the temple and we smell the incense that has been offered to the Lord, we get cured from the snake bite of Maya and we get revived to our original consciousness. So just see that Krishna consciousness is so wonderful that you can go back to Godhead by using any of your senses. You can chant your way back to Godhead. You can taste your way back to Godhead. You can hear your way back to Godhead. You can see your way back to Godhead. You can even smell your way back to Godhead. Just by using your nostrils, you can become a pure devotee, as did the Kumaras. They just smelled the tulsi that was offered to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, and they became pure devotees. So all the senses can and should be engaged in the service of the Lord, and this is what is Krishna consciousness. Sarvopadhimirmuktam tattattat parattayina rimalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti uchyate. So bhakti is defined as the engagement of all the senses in the service of the Lord of the senses. The senses are called rishika, and Krishna is Isha, or the Lord of the senses. Therefore, he is Rishikesha. So when the Rishika, or the senses, are used in the service of Rishikesh, or Krishna, then that is called bhakti. That confirms it. So when the senses are used in this way, one becomes purified of all material designations. In other words, one becomes cured from the snake bite of material existence. And the other thing for curing one of snake bite is mantra. So just as when a person bitten by a snake can be cured or relieved of the effects of the snake bite by the chanting of certain mantras, so also by chanting of the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, we can be cured of the snake bite of Maya. And we can be revived to our original spiritual consciousness. Srila Prabhupada says that the conditioned living entity is spiritually sick or spiritually dead. He is spiritually unconscious and he needs to be now revived to his original spiritual consciousness. And that can be done by hearing of the transcendental mantras. So in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami quotes from the Garuda Purana, Sansara sarpadashta nashta chaishtaika bheshajam krishneti vaishnavam mantram shrutva mukto bhavin naraha. Just as for a person who is fit by sansara, the sansara means the maya, the effects of maya, and his consciousness is completely destroyed and he is unconscious, such a person can be revived by the chanting of mantras. Krishna iti Vaishnavam mantram. Krishna iti is the Vaishnava mantra that consists of the names of Krishna. Shrutva mukto bhavena naraha. So naraha, or a human being, can be revived and liberated just by hearing Krishna's names. So there are two ways to cure one of snake bite, and similarly two ways to cure one from the snake bite of Maya. One is by smelling, the other is by hearing. So Kashyap was expert in both. So he came here to revive King Parikshit, but was misled and taken away. Now I had read these quotations from the Nectar of Devotion, but I had never seen it for myself, and I thought it's just something that was perhaps done in the ancient Vedic days, and such a thing doesn't happen now. But last year, I went to a village in North India, in the state of Uttar Pradesh, where I go once in 6 months or 8 months. There is a village where I go for preaching. And in that village, it's really like a typical Indian village. Very simple. And there is a Hanuman temple there. And in the temple of Hanuman, there is a small room. So I stay in that one room. There's no facility there. It's just one room. That's all there is. And so I stay there in that room. And this time that I went, the last time, and I saw that in the compound of the Hanuman temple, all night long, there was so much noise. So I came out to see what it was. And there was this young man from the village who apparently had this power to revive people from the effects of snake bite. And he would chant certain mantras into the ears, and he would do some other mumbo jumbo, what I thought was mumbo jumbo. Just do some abracadabra or something and then bring these people back. So initially when I heard that this young man does that, I was a little skeptical. And I thought, no, this is, they just say this is village superstition. And then I saw for myself, you had these people who were brought in on stretchers, villagers, you know, when they were going into their fields, because this was the time when the harvesting had to be done, and the snakes would be in the fields, in the crops, and when the villagers would go into the fields, for some reason, some cases the snakes would bite them. Sometimes it was scorpions. And it can be quite painful. And then they would be practically unconscious and groaning and moaning in pain. They would be brought in. There was a case of this lady who was brought in. She was practically unconscious. I could see it. And the relatives brought her in because they know that there was such a young man in this village. And she was brought in. And then he began to chant some mantras. And I was trying to hear the mantras. And I couldn't detect much because he wasn't chanting very clearly, but I could see there was something to Kali. It wasn't a Krishna mantra, unfortunately. He was chanting something at any rate. And then he took some leaves and he started beating her up and everything. And she stood up and walked away in front of my eyes. So, and then not one time, but it happened many times that night. And also the next night, I stayed there for 2 nights. It happened the next night as well. And it was a frequent occurrence in that season, because that was when the harvesting was done and the snakes would be there in the fields. And he would do it every time. And then he would send the person home. The person would come in, carried on a stretcher, and would go out walking. Or sometimes, even if he or she was not in a stretcher, they would come groaning in pain, holding some part of the body where he or she had been stung, and they would walk away. So I saw this for the first time only last year. Otherwise, I was also very skeptical of these things being done in the modern days. And what's even more amazing, when I was talking to this man, is what exactly is this that you're doing? So he said, I learned it from my father. His father used to do the same thing, but now his father has retired from this work. So the son has taken over. So it's apparently some kind of shakti. It's not just a mechanical thing. It's some shakti that is there, is required to do. And the amazing thing he told me was that he also does it on the mobile phone. He said there are cases in some other state of Bihar, which is quite far away actually. It's a neighboring state, but still in terms of kilometers, it must be a couple of hundred kilometers. And you know, this person's name is spread everywhere. So somebody from some interior village of Bihar, they heard about it. So they called up in desperation, and then this person chanted some mantra into the mobile phone, and you know, then he said, do this, do that, and then it seems she was alright, the lady was bitten. And then I asked that, what about the medical fraternity of scientists? What about doctors? What do they say about this? So he said, this last night the doctor brought his wife to me. So much for curing snake bites. So you see, what's mentioned in the Vedic literature from a modern standpoint may appear to be mythology or some kind of just some stories, but actually there is a fact. Even today you find rare cases like this. So mantra and Aushadhi, yes, these are the two cures for snake bite. And Kashyapa was well versed in that. And then he came, and he was ready with his, he had the potency, he had everything. But then Takshaka then led him away so that he could do what he was supposed to do. And here it is mentioned that the snake bird, Takshaka, could assume any form that he wished. Vijarupa pratichinnaha kamarupaha. He disguised himself as a dvija or as a brahmana, and he was kamarupa, which means he could change his form, so he assumed the rupa of a brahmana like this. Some of these asuras and demoniac elements could also do such things. Like we know Putana. Putana was a fierce rakshasi, very ugly to look at, fierce, horrendous. But she changed herself. She assumed the form of a very beautiful young lady to enter into the house of Nanda Maharaj. And then she tried to feed milk to Krishna. So there are many species of living entities in the 8.4 million species who can do that, who can change their form. So Takshak also appears as one of those, the snake birds. Nowadays people would scoff at the idea of something called a snake bird existing. In Western mythology you have the mermaids. Have you heard of the mermaids?
Yeah.
They're ladies with bodies of human beings and the lower parts of snakes or fish. So, but mermaids are nagas. So we understand these are not mythological things. They are there from our scriptures. So they were existing before, they are existing now, but we can't see them because they don't appear before us. So anyway, Takshak took the form of a brahmana, and then as a snake he came and bit King Parikshit. In the Mahabharata it is mentioned that when the Srimad Bhagavatam was over and Parikshit Maharaj was ready, some hermits who were present there came and gave him some fruits to eat because he had been fasting for 7 days and 7 nights. King Parikshit began to eat, and among those fruits there was a brown worm. That worm expanded into Takshaka. It was Takshaka who had disguised himself like that. And then he caught hold of Parikshit Maharaj and then bit him. And then of course Parikshit Maharaj, the further things happened. So these are slightly different variations in the narration of the story, but doesn't matter. The important thing is that Takshak came and bit Maharaj Parikshit. And if you want to know what happened after Takshak bit Maharaj Parikshit, then you'll have to come tomorrow morning for the class. So we'll stop here. Hare Krishna.
Hare.
Any questions? Comments? Yes. Mahatma.
I got one comment and one question. The comment and you were telling about the envious and nature of Duryodhana.
Yes.
He wanted to arrest Lord Krishna. Duryodhana.
Yes, yes. Correct, yes. He wanted to arrest even Krishna.
Yes.
Correct.
My question is that Janmajaya also tried to protect his father. So what are the things he did? I heard.
That you will have to wait for tomorrow morning.
Thank you.
If I say that now, then there will be no class tomorrow.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes.
What's the point of the Ayurvedic science? fasting. They also say, ghee which is kept in a cool place.
I beg your pardon?
Ghee. Ghee which is kept in a cool place.
Yeah. Yeah.
If someone is in a conscious smell, it's like
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's a comment that in Ayurveda it is mentioned that if ghee is kept in a cold place for many, many years, for 100 years, and if an unconscious person smells it, then he can be brought back to external consciousness. Yeah, there are many, many things in Ayurvedic scriptures which may seem voodoo to us, but actually there it's a fact, yes. There are many such things. Yes.
Even in homeopathy, there are certain medicines.
Yes.
They are very effective.
Right.
Better than the other systems in medicine.
Right. Yeah.
They can even cure cancer.
Yeah. Even smelling, the power of smell is very important for therapy. Nowadays, you have this aromatherapy coming up. Yes. The question is that can we hear a little more about hearing, because it was mentioned that one can hear one's way back to Godhead, one can smell one's way back to Godhead. So yeah, hearing is very, we do it because it's very pleasing to Krishna. Because Krishna wants us to do that. It's an act of bhakti. One of the elements, 64 items or limbs of sadhana bhakti is hearing. And it is in this connection that Rupa Goswami mentions this point about curing from the snake bite. One gets purified of one's contaminations and one develops love for the Lord. As the Srimad Bhagavatam says, Yasyam Vaishuyamanayam Krishne Paramapuruṣe Bhakti Utpadyate Punsaha Shokamoha Bhayapaha. That when one hears about the Supreme Person, Krishna, then bhaktir utpadyate punsaha, the bhakti or love for the Lord awakens in the heart, and progressively, with the onset of love for the Lord, shoka, that is lamentation, moha, that is illusion, and bhaya, that is fear, they all disappear from the heart. So this is the principal reason why we hear. So hearing is the most important spiritual activity for us. So when we hear more, then we will get more purified and develop love for Krishna. And of the 9 processes of devotional service as outlined by Prahlad Maharaj in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first 2 are Shravanam, Kirtanam. Hearing is first, and then Kirtanam. And also it is explained that one can take up any one of these 9 or any combination of them and make one's life successful. King Parikshit made his life successful just by hearing, and Shukadev Goswami made his life successful just by speaking. So hearing is such a powerful method for us to perfect our life. Even if one is illiterate, one can still hear. Just by sitting in the association of devotees and hearing, even that is wonderful. Even if you are sleeping in class, better to sleep here than to sleep at home. Because even as you are sleeping, the soul is hearing, the body is not hearing, but the sound vibration is going to the soul. That's why devotees are so blissful even when they are sleeping in the class. You can see that when they are sleeping also they have this beatific smile on their face. And when you travel by trains or something, you see they are so grumpy when they are sleeping. They have some grouchy look on their face. When you travel by tube or something, when they sleep, they are all grumpy about something. But when devotees are sleeping in class, they have this blissful smile on their face. So Krishna consciousness is blissful even when asleep, when we are asleep. So we should hear. Hearing is the big method, the main process for us. Simply by hearing we can go back to God. Yes, and also we have to taste our way back to Godhead, and it's time for that now. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Tomorrow. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Go Premanande.
Yeah.